We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
You know what, Audrey? I always get charged up starting up the show. I like our first segments.
Mm-hmm, I do. Because gives us a chance to sort of have a conversation on a few things. A
couple things to talk about. What's happening in the local industry? What's the physics behind our guests that stop by the show and everything like that. But I always enjoy getting some of your insight as to what's going on, because you get to go to all the cool meetings. You get to hang out with all the
okay,
all the
you're
fun
adorable
people.
Now. That's really adorable.
It's 100% true. And so you usually have insight on stuff before most of us kind of get the insight. I'm just saying.
Well,
and you always have something that you're thinking about, and sometimes it's weird. You got to pair the good news with the bad news.
Well, it's not. Listen, Jonathan, you and I have a really cool gig.
We do.
The gig is that we get to see what's happening on the ground as these nascent ideas are burgeoning up, but we also get to see what the obstacles are,
and we get to
understand things that many people each and every day. It's not their world.
They don't get the front row seat like we get sometimes.
Well, so here we are, Pittsburgh, 2018, on the global map for so many different things, right? We get a flight that goes to China. We've, got our, inked in Seattle flight.
The British Airways flight's ready to happen
British
in a couple
Airways
months.
British Airways coming up in a couple of months.
Very excited.
We get, pathways to the world, so important. We get Facebook putting out a bigger flagship with AR and VR here in the Strip District and an innovation center over at Carnegie Mellon with Facebook. We have representation from most of the big NASDAQ companies have planted their flag here. Not all of them, but most of them. We're ahead of so many other cities that way. We have the highest level of academic achievement for people between the ages of 24 and 35 that are postmasters.
We're like a smart city.
We're really filled with incredibly educated people. And then, of course, we have an incredible amount of people that are not getting access to things. Now, many high schools like Elizabeth Forward, Upper St. Clair, North Allegheny, and some of the private schools are doing just tremendous work in making sure that the future is viable for a lot of our young people. But we still see young people who go to college and don't come back. We still suffer from not a growing population. We still are number two in aging, and people are living longer, which is great. Number one is Dade County,
right,
in Miami.
Yeah, we're still number. That's been we're still like number two going on there.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
And we also know that people who come to Pittsburgh tend not to leave once they're here, which is sort of cool.
Like
and I like that.
In.
I'm one of them.
Yeah.
You get here and you're like, wow, I'm still here 17 years later.
This
That's sort of crazy.
Kind of worth staying. Yeah.
Right. But the interesting thing is that as people are between the ages of 25 and 34, they're not having children. They're not, or if they are having children, they might be having one. And as people start to age, we're seeing that we're not growing our population. And even though the incredible, incredible things that are happening you can go to Millvale, you can go to Lawrenceville.
I feel like I see people everywhere now.
Right.
Like, it's weird. I think like 20 years ago,
it was
you never saw anyone downtown. You went to Millvale, there was nobody hanging out. You went to Lawrenceville, no one was hanging out. Now I feel like everywhere I go, there's a traffic jam to get there. I keep feeling like, our population must be growing. But if you look at it, it's actually not growing.
It's not growing.
That's why I'm saying here's the good news with the bad news.
Right.
The good news is, there's people out doing stuff, but there's not, we need more of them.
it's a fascinating thing because we are a city that has a tricky topography, which is so beautiful.
I would visit you, but I have to go through a tunnel. So.
No, but I mean, even the topography of trying to get from one neighborhood to the next.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
We're trying to figure out ways to tether on, ground transportation so that it becomes pretty easy for people to get around.
We just need the Hyperloop here. Just to
But we need to also be able to get from Highland Park to the North Shore.
If we had a Hyperloop going to South Hills Village, I'd be there every weekend.
So it's a fascinating thing.
Right.
Because the more that we build into our infrastructure, the more we need people to use it.
Exactly.
And if they're not using it,
they're not
and they're
it.
Not developing our
right.
tax base
right.
into a stronger tax base.
So that's a tough thing to get Pittsburgh out of first gear then in some
right.
ways.
Right. And I think part of it is to me, mm-hmm. we spend time even at the Tech Council trying to attract companies that are like in Silicon Valley or New York or in Boston.
Yeah.
But you know what? What we really need to be doing is we need to be in places like China. We need to be in South America. We need to
Croatia.
Croatia doesn't have the big companies, but the places
I'm thinking for get, to
no, not people.
I'm thinking get people. Companies. You're talking about companies.
I'm
I got you. Okay,
companies.
I wasn't following you there. I got you.
I'm
now.
Really talking about companies. I'm talking about getting the companies that are the companies that we don't even know about today.
Have them come to Pittsburgh.
And let them plant their flag.
And bring
open up
and bring
the
their
U.S.
People, bring their people
right.
over. Yeah, that makes
and
total
that's,
sense.
That
makes
that's
total sense.
The piece that we're really missing. Other cities are kicking our butt.
When it comes
in
to,
this space,
to that
Fort
area.
Lauderdale, Denver,
wait, back up.
Fort Lauderdale, their consortium what? Is working on. Yeah, they work on all around the world trying to get big new companies.
To me, that's
to
just so cool. I love hearing that company that cities like Fort Lauderdale,
right.
are being super smart about stuff.
They're
and,
being
and doing
really,
that.
Really
yeah.
smart.
That's
and,
cool.
And it's not just about the weather. I mean. It isn't because, I mean, they suffer a lot of bad weather
Absolutely.
In July, August, and September.
Exactly.
That is really no different than what we have here in the winter.
Yeah.
I don't want to live through hurricanes. I don't want to live through, you know, having to board my house up at the drop of a. So, I mean, weather, that isn't a conversation. Boston's growing.
Yeah.
Boston's growing. So if you talk about weather, Boston's growing.
Yeah. Their weather's terrible. They're still growing.
Right.
Yeah, I'm
the
tired
winters
of hearing
the
weather story is becoming a little bit played.
The weathers aren't. So the question is, what is, and then, we also get dinged for not being reflective of a very diverse economy, very diverse community. Are we really welcoming to people who don't look like
But
all
unlike
of us?
Weather, that's something we can actually
but
work
if
on.
If you really look at the people who are between the ages of 25 to 34, they're a diverse bunch of people. They come from all over to work at some of these companies. So my ask is for everyone to be thinking about what are those companies that are all around the world that should plant a flag?
How do we reach them?
In Pittsburgh?
Right. How do we reach them?
And how can we do that so that we really are bringing the world to Pittsburgh, not just people?
So I have a question, but we only have a couple minutes left. With our immigration policy being as weird as it is,
it's
how
tough.
Can we then actually get a big company
really
come here
tough,
and make
right.
sure they can bring their people over here?
Well, there are ways, and there are ways to do that. There are expat strategies that companies can leverage, but it's also knowing that these strong companies are here and that they're growing and that they are the future and represent the future. That's really what the secret sauce is.
Absolutely.
And that's when the downstream markets start to open up.
Exactly. Very cool. Very, very cool. Well, Audrey, today's show got some great people stopping by. We have Stefan Vanchev from Panacea stopping by. Internet of Things and greenhouses have now met each other. That's all I can say. We're going to learn more about that. And TravelWits, your traveling just became a lot more efficient and cost effective. Cool, cool company.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
We're going to use it. We're going to use
it
at the Tech Council. We're going to use TravelWits.
We're going to use them to book our travel. And, of course, we have Jason McKenna from Railway Matters stopping by to talk about the new Emerge podcast series we're spinning up from the Tech Vibe Radio podcast studio that we have in our headquarters at Nova Place. Great stuff. I love it. Great insight today, Audrey. I appreciate it. I can't wait to put this show into second gear and get cruising here. This is Jonathan Kersing.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We're from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn about the Tech Council and how we like helping tech companies succeed by going to pghtech.org. So, Audrey, how I've been talking about our new podcast room almost nonstop as far as that goes. And part of doing the podcast thing has been allowing us to take a deep dive on subject matter we want to kind of explore. We can't always cover it in 9.5 minutes. And so we've had Jason McKenna on the show quite a few times from Robo Matter. He's almost like the 6 stone of
Tech
5
like
Radio.
Stone?
Almost.
He's got like, if everyone could see him. Though,
I know, he's all leaned over.
He's got like a hand in his pocket, leaned over.
It's like
with
ready
a,
to go.
A zip up hoodie. He really dressed up for us today.
Exactly. That's
really
why I
appreciate
like,
that respect, dude.
I try.
I think he almost lit up a cigarette before he came up on air, too.
So, well, yeah. Let's not get into that now.
But no, seriously, since Jason, one of these guys, you've been talking about STEM stuff with us through RoboMatter over many, many years with us doing Tech 5 Radio. And we've talked about trying to set up a podcast to kind of explore more of all the different things that are happening when it comes to all things STEM, especially in the Pittsburgh area. So we've now launched Emerge, which I think is kind of fun. We have two podcasts in the can right now, which is kind of fun.
It is. It's a lot of fun. And I think, you know, really the genesis behind this is, as you mentioned, Jonathan, it's such a robust subject, and being able to really explore these really interesting conversations.
Definitely.
And innovators in both of these spaces and technology, education. And what was really intriguing about it is that, you know, they're so connected. You know, like you said, we have two of them taped right now, and the theme that ran through both of those podcasts was this idea of entrepreneurship.
Exactly.
You know, so we talked to Wes Lyons and what he's doing with local schools and what he's doing with his bakery to try to reach out to students that one would not normally consider to be entrepreneurs.
Exactly.
To expose them to an entrepreneurship, to give them relevant firsthand experience with it and have them go through that and really, to be blunt, change lives. Within that context.
Exactly, change lives. And that's why I was so pumped when we were talking to Wes, because I didn't know much about him or the fact that Cape Creek Square was doing what it was doing in the waterfront, but I didn't realize he's bringing students and teaching them like business skills, life skills, responsibility.
Yeah.
And he was just stepping up. I mean, he's a former Pittsburgh Steeler and he retired from the sport, and he wanted to keep giving back because he was inspired by the kids that would approach him knowing he was a Pittsburgh Steeler. He knew he had the ability to really positively impact someone's life, and he didn't have to open Cape Creek Square or try to help kids. He could do, you know, whatever he wanted, but he chose that. And so,
And then, you know, what you really have to give Wes a lot of credit for is he probably could have went around telling people that, you know, I used to play for the Steelers for probably like the next 15 years. That would have been fine.
Exactly.
But, you know,
I try it right now and it almost works for me.
Yeah. That was his initial hook with the kids. But then he was able to expand upon that and say, hey, this is what I did. But you can also do this. You can also be an entrepreneur. You can also learn these skills. You can also do these things. And this might be something that can really change your life. And if this is something that you like to do, and just, you know, from an educational perspective, this is the whole purpose of, you know, extracurricular activities. Not every student is going to be, you know, really excited about math, but they may love music. So use that to help motivate them during the course of the school day. I want to go to school tomorrow because I can't wait for band. There's a lot of kids like that.
Mm-hmm.
Wes is doing that same thing with this.
The lure of cupcakes alone would have driven me to go there. It would have kept me off the streets, Jason. I wouldn't be hosting this show today. I'd have my own cupcake show. Call it JK's Cupcakes.
But it's more than cupcakes. I mean, it's the process. It's the whole thing.
Yep. Yeah, and that's such a great point because, you know, one of my recent talking points about this has been that as I go around in my travels with my job, you know, as you were mentioning, Jonathan, like, people will say things like, we have a great engineering program here, whatever that here is.
Right.
Because we focus on things like communication and collaboration because we know that our engineers are going to have to communicate and collaborate when they go out into the workspace. And to me, that's analogous to saying that, hey, Jonathan, you have pretty good hand-eye coordination, so you can be a quarterback in the NFL.
Exactly. I've been told
that many times. Basketball player.
It is necessary, but not nearly sufficient.
Exactly.
So when we say things like, to your point about, you know, it's not just making cupcakes.
Right.
When we say things like kids are going to need to know how to communicate and collaborate, work in a team and do these things. You can do that for, you know, 90 minutes a week in a classroom. But imagine doing that every day.
In the real world.
Oh, my God. I got to talk to people. I got to compromise. I got to get my point across. I got to figure out how to let them win sometimes.
Exactly.
I got to figure out how to compromise.
Exactly.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
When did we become so negligent about those kinds of skills?
It's a good point.
It is a good point. I agree with that. But I think the way that, and this gets to the other part of Emerge with the technology part, the way that we create products has completely and totally changed within the last 10 point. To 15 years.
Very good point.
So now, whereas, you know, 5, 10 years ago, not actually probably more like 15, 20 years ago, I had a lot more lead time with a product. I can create a product, maybe it took 6, 7, 8, 9 months to
but
get
now
that product
so
to market.
Now it's so fast now.
Right
that,
now.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Well, so the, fast right yeah. now. And, well, that, the and that person give me feedback on it right now.
Well, my thoughts on that are that people used to be able to be individual contributors.
Yes.
Very often. They yes. were a scientist or they had a discrete
They had their one vertical
skill,
they worked in.
Right,
yeah.
and that they worked in and they sort of came up through that. And we were, many people were working for big companies where there's a lot of hierarchy.
Yeah.
So you could be an individual, you could yep. work on a team occasionally. And that world has changed. It's
world
a democratization
changed.
Of it's, everything.
It, organizations are flat.
So meanwhile, yep. we're busy on our phones, not strengthening our communication skills, our live communication skills. We're we're strengthening our online communication skills for sure.
Absolutely.
But we still, now we have people that are like in this trough of not being able to communicate. And actually, sometimes it blows my mind.
It is, exactly
because
right.
it's like happened not just in a generation, it happened in like 5 years, mm-hmm. in like 5 year increments. By the time you get through high school, the world has totally changed from the time you're in ninth grade to your first year, if you're lucky enough to go to college.
Exactly.
Yeah, in my previous life, when I was still in the classroom, you know, to your point, I still remember the day when I got my first invitation to a graduation party via Facebook. And I was like,
what?
No. Come and hand me an invitation. Send it in
the
mail.
Oh, you're so old school.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez.
You know, but those, the, you know, those are all great points. And I think, you know, the example that I give all the time, I talk about Uber, right? I said, you know, for most of my formative life, I was told never to get into a car with strangers.
I know, and now we jump in.
That's their entire business model.
I know.
Right?
Absolutely.
So how do they know that?
Exactly.
How are they able to figure that out and know it? The only way you have to get out of the office to figure that stuff out.
Right.
Absolutely.
You can't read about it.
Exactly.
So, Jason, we got about 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
I'm reminding our listeners, we're talking to Jason McKenna from RoboMatter.
Yeah.
Partner with us on the Emerge podcast series about all things STEM education. If you go to pghtech.org, hit the drop down, you see our podcast channel there, and you can kind of get the first two episodes. What can we expect in the first for some future broadcasts on Emerge?
Yeah, so we have a couple folks lined up right now to really talk in more detail about exactly what we're talking about right now. How has product development changed, and how does that change our job and our work? So just as an example of that, I spent a lot of time about 6 months ago interviewing for a new Scrum Master at RoboMatter. Like, what is that job, a Scrum Master? Like, what is that? Like, can I go to college for that? Can I get a degree in that? So there's all these new jobs. So about that, and then also talking to folks from Remake Learning about CS for Pittsburgh.
Very cool.
And how we're trying to basically develop that pipeline of talent that can come up for these technologies.
I'm excited because we'll have
there.
No time limits. We can talk as long as we want.
As long as we want.
Unlike on the terrestrial
thank you
signal
so much.
Here.
So
thank Jason McKenna, for thanks for stopping by. RoboMatter, pghtech.org. Look for our podcast channel there. You can learn all about Emerge and what's going on. Audrey, we're taking a quick break. We're coming right back. This is Jonathan Kirstening.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about us at pghtech.org. It's like variety is the spice of life, Audrey. The cool.
Where are you going with that?
Because different types of companies doing different types of things. You don't always think about like tech and agriculture necessarily going like hand
you
in
too.
Hand.
It's interesting. You know, when I was in Croatia, one of the biggest problems they had was what's the next generation of farming? And mushrooms are a big part of Croatia. And so they are trying to understand where's that next generation
yeah.
and who's doing it. And I said, robots.
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, kids don't want to get dirty anymore. So they want to see everything as if it's a real life Farmville. And the way we want to approach it is we want to present to them, hey, there's a way of actually growing a lot of food, and it looks like a lab in there. You have robots that are running around.
Exactly.
You have sensors everywhere. Everything's running off your phone.
And Stefan,
that's the next generation.
That's why we're excited to talk to you today.
So who do we have in the house?
My name is Stefan Vanchev. I am the founder, and president and CTO of Panacea AG. We specialize in creating intelligent greenhouses. We don't necessarily build the greenhouses, but we build the technology that goes inside.
So what does that look like? So give us an example and peel that back.
So I'm also a farmer, so I run my own greenhouses.
Really?
Which
what do you grow?
Basil. So this is where everything started. I built everything myself
from
the hand, you know, from the ground up. The goal is I can never talk about things like this without actually fully experiencing them myself. So I built my greenhouses myself and instrumented everything inside. And then I also have a full-time job as a, you know, as a software architect. So I'm gone most of the day. And this is where the automation technology was absolutely necessary. Now, the interesting part was that I started with being completely, fully hand-driven. That was the goal, is to actually be put in the corner with a complete you know, lack of help and constantly worrying about things. Because this is the kind of stuff that makes me come up with interesting solutions to these kind of problems. So, needless to say, calling my wife multiple times to go in and turn the fans on and turn the fans
check
off.
The basil. Check the basil.
That only lasted for about a month.
I need to automate this somehow.
Yeah, this is where the technology started to come in. And I looked at, there are quite a lot of technology companies providing such automation pieces, but I could not afford any of them. So none of this stuff is applicable to any of the small farmers. And that's the reason why we decided that we're going to go down this route of automating these greenhouses. At the end of the day, I just want to retire as a farmer.
Exactly.
You know,
so you're growing basil with your own technology right now?
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yep.
And so talk about that technology. What is it? What does it look like? How does it operate?
So we've decided that we're going to take a multi-pronged approach. So we will go with finding things that are off the shelf, any kind of technology we can get off the shelf and integrate it in our greater solution. That's always a first go. But then we found some pieces that were incredibly expensive from a off-the-shelf perspective. And then when we took them apart, it just made no sense of why
like
it was.
We
so
can build this much cheaper,
yeah.
Right?
And we did.
Okay.
So we're talking about sensors, you know, automation controls. We have cameras in the greenhouses. And we're finishing our robotics piece, which monitors the plants individually.
So each plant has a sensor. You can see how the plant is growing. Yeah, and based on what it's looking like, it adjusts the conditions around.
That's exactly the point, right? So we want to be able to predict using weather patterns to see when the sun will be available.
Okay.
That in itself translates into cutting down on your heating costs.
Right.
Or
okay.
Optimizing
yeah.
your cooling costs. But you can't optimize without monitoring the plants themselves. So you cannot possibly start turning fans and HVACs on and off and controlling the water temperature without monitoring the plants themselves. You have to look for this biological, you know, feedback to see if they're drooping, if they're spiking up, if
right.
you're noticing certain mm-hmm. certain
right. So you need visual yeah. cues.
If it starts exactly. turning brown, then big alerts go off. Right?
Yeah, and then that eventually will automatically adjust the nutrient levels. But for right now, we're just feeding our AI with information, and then we're asking master
wow.
growers, people who actually understand this from. You know,
so
like,
what kind of growers? So is it any kind of plant?
It could in greenhouse, you can grow anything. It's about 25 years ago, this would not have been true because the technology was not at the level in commoditization, in price ranges that we needed it to be in order to make it profitable in our region to be able to do something like this. So, you know, before you had the giant multi-acre installations, that's the only one that could possibly afford, you know, semi-okay technology for automation.
Makes sense, right.
This day and age with IoT exploding everywhere, sensors are, you know, a dime a dozen, it makes a lot of sense to start reviewing this. And this is where I think agriculture will go.
It has to be going this way.
Right. So you have the commodity agriculture, people that are growing soy and corn and things like this. That's great. We need all that stuff. But at the end of the day, I don't eat any of those things. I eat salads constantly. So I would like to have my food come from local sources. And the only way you can enable local sources is by providing affordable technology. And education is what we found
out. You're solving big, tough problems.
Big problems require big solutions.
One basil leaf at a time.
Yep.
So who are you selling to? People are listening.
Yeah, we
is
have...
Is this for home use? Is this for...
You know, we have
meaning like a smaller greenhouse, right?
If you're the avid gardener, then you'd be more willing to adopt such technology because at the end of the day, it still requires your attention.
Of course,
just like you garden. But in general, I really think that the only way that we can make a big change in our region and then any other region going forward mm-hmm. is to approach the big institutional purchasers. And the only way we can approach them is providing a big capacity of local production. So
distributing it out.
So really that. Going back to your question, I think that we're going our target market is small farmers, new greenhouse installations, existing greenhouse installations. You'd be surprised how many greenhouses we have in our region.
So Stefan, how many greenhouses are there? Like,
I think
in the Pittsburgh region?
We have at least over 100.
I believe it.
Isn't it a lot of it now marijuana?
As of right now, for these guys, it's not. Marijuana is very highly regulated, but then again, our technology is it's plant agnostic, so we can be applicable to absolutely anything.
Anything like that. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So what has surprised you along this journey?
The willingness of farmers to take on technology that hasn't fully been tested.
Early adopters?
They are the early adopters. It's amazing to see how hungry they are for technology. They're dealing with these problems on daily basis of high risk, low labor availability, and things like this. And they are more than willing to try out anything new. As long as you're there, as long as you're face-to-face talking to them, you're shaking their hands. I have seriously struck so many deals just with a shaking of a hand and just being there repeatedly and just showing that I actually care.
Exactly. We're listening to Tech Vibrato. Here we're talking to Stefan Vanchet from Panacea, panacea.ag.
It's so great. Honestly, I'm so glad to see this in my lifetime. I mentioned earlier about people not wanting to get, you said, not wanting to get their hands dirty.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, this can be even talked about from a tax perspective. I mean, every day you go to Giant Eagle and you buy your vegetables and the money just leaves the city.
Right.
I mean, now that stuff is growing here.
Yeah.
A lot of it comes from Chile, Mexico, Canada. So mm-hmm. we were talking about,
farm
growing,
table,
yeah,
right?
Growing our communities and making our communities wealthy. But then we walk over into a grocery store, and now I'm at the end of, you don't know where this is coming from. So we want to bring this visibility of, this is proven to be local.
I think about the amount of energy you save not having to truck a bunch of tomatoes from across the country to Pittsburgh when you could have them trucked from Butler County.
Yeah. I mean, you have the energy, you have the nutrition levels, have just the wealth of the community. I mean, for every dollar that a farmer receives generates $1.97 in economic activity.
Interesting. So, Stefan, you were just at the Pennsylvania Agriculture Show back in January. It's a big thing. I mean, that's been going on for...
In January. Yeah. Everyone's ready to look for the...
January and February are the biggest months for conferences and shows. And
it's like downtime on the farm a little bit, right?
It's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So, all of the big ones are in January and February. The interesting part of that show was that for the first time, under the auspices of the governor... they created this ag innovation section.
Right.
That was the first time in 103 years that they actually have brought in innovators. And they asked us, somehow they found out about the summit that we did in November. So they asked kind of me to organize a trip of companies to be the innovators. And we were able to successfully get 5 Pittsburgh companies and 1 from State College.
That's cool.
So that was incredible.
We have like a little microcosm of ag tech companies popping up here.
So yeah, we have at least 20 to 25 of them.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Mm-hmm.
And so do most of them, have they come out of the universities?
Universities, their transplants, they're coming in from farmers' backgrounds. A lot of these kids actually grew up on farms. They went to colleges and they're dealing with the problems they've dealt with their entire life. I just want to say thank you to pretty much everybody. I want to thank Alpha Lab Gear for accepting us.
Of course.
We were there for 4 months.
Definitely. Absolutely.
We want to help. I want to say thank you to the Pittsburgh Technology Council.
That's great.
They've been very helpful with pushing out the narrative of this and just the entire community. Our community is very strong and very much believes in this local
urban. So can Jonathan
urban
and I come and see this at action?
You are more than welcome to.
I'm just thinking.
We'll invite you to our graduation
event. Gives me an opportunity to wear some overalls.
But we have few events that are coming up. We have an AgTech summit, a mini summit, which connects the farmers with educators.
Oh, my God.
When's that happening?
When's that?
That's on February 22nd. Actually, that's April 4th.
April 4th.
In Hull. And then we have the big event, the big AgTech summit, the big AgTech Connect summit, which will be September 27th. And 27th and 28th, we'll have the Secretary of Agriculture coming in as one of our keynote speakers. But the goal is to connect the companies with the funders and the policymakers.
Cool. So panacea.ag.
and right, say that teacher,
I can't
that's
mess
so
that up.
Great. Thank you so much for the work that you do.
Well, thank you guys for having us. I mean, this is incredible.
I told you, Audrey, variety is the spice of life. Really I love basil, great. And he's growing it. So,
we're going to go visit it. I want to see it in action.
Let's do it, man. Absolutely. Hey, we're taking a quick break. We're coming back with more Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about us by going to pghtech.org, helping tech companies succeed since 1983. You know what, Audrey?
Yeah.
Making travel plans is pretty tough.
Well, particularly someone like you who doesn't like to travel.
Exactly right. So when you do have to travel, it becomes, you know, it's tough to have an efficiently planned trip.
This is a joke for Jonathan and I.
It's an inside joke we have going on about.
It's an outside joke now.
It is.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The outside joke is I love to travel. Mm-hmm. Mr. Pittsburgh over here.
Once a year, and that's it.
I got him on a once-a-year program.
Exactly. Pretty good. I like it. It gets you out and about, you know. But what I noticed that when I go out and about, you need a system to help you plan the thing out. And you can save some money if you do it right. You can optimize. And that's what Travel Wits does. Really excited to have you guys stop by the show today.
Sure, yeah.
Thank you.
So introduce yourselves.
My name is Max. I'm a co-founder of the Travel Wits.
And I'm chief product officer, co-founder of Travel Wits with Max.
So, Armin, how long have you been hanging out with
I love
Max
that they
for?
Only have one name.
I know.
They're like, share.
Share.
Armin and Max.
Remember, we were just going to call you Audrey for a while.
I know. I love that.
First names only. In the
first
show.
Names only.
Exactly right. No.
So give us the pitch, and then we're going to do a little bit of a dive in.
Sounds good.
Yep. So I actually travel myself a lot. I'm also a professor at Carnegie Mellon University, and I have to do a lot of travel. And a lot of my travel is something where, you know, kind of like have a meeting on one day that starts at 10 a.m. and then ends the other day at 2 p.m. And then it's that hard to figure out how you're actually going to get there before the meeting. What flights you're going to use, you know, day before, day after the meeting, which hotel you're going to stay in, how you're going to get from the hotel to the meeting.
Exactly.
So what do we do?
Like I was saying, logistics.
Yep,
it's crazy.
Logistics. And it's like, and this is a business travel. I don't want to spend my evening, the whole evening planning this thing. I don't want to spend like 2 days doing that.
Right. Unnecessary.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to do like 5 minutes and that's it.
And save some money while you're at it too, if you can, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. If you can. And that's exactly what we do. We're kind of bringing AI technologies to take in real-time information on the availability, prices, traffic information, all that stuff, to get you the full trip that is optimized literally around the business meeting times and locations. So you literally enter when
your meetings are.
I know. I did that. I thought it was quite cool.
Yeah.
Because I think of how much wasted time, particularly for business trips.
Yeah.
That you have. You have to stay overnight. You have to figure out, is it cheaper to go home that day or should you rent a hotel the night before?
Yeah.
And then is that really efficient use of your time? Who else can you meet?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
We're also working on the Google Calendar integration, so that's coming up very soon.
Very cool.
Oh, that's really cool.
So instead of actually entering those times, you just pick an event from the calendar.
Oh, that's really cool. Uh-huh. I really like that.
Yeah, we'll let you know when it's out.
Send us the news release. We'll let the world
and
know.
And then, so... If you take this non-integrated world that we're in now in terms of travel, you can look at your flight, right? You look for the cheapest flight and to go to your location. But then you might have a bundled opportunity to look at hotels. But that's missing everything else, right?
Yeah, and it is a business travel, right? So for you, it's also important, not just the cost, but it's also convenience. It's like nonstop versus a potential connection. The hotel, which is closer to the meeting, you know, how many stars it has and all those things, taking care of the travel policies of a company, you know, restrictions that they may have and all those things.
Oh, that's true.
Kind of thinking about all of that and trying to make sure that you obviously don't get your wife upset staying away from home for too long.
Is there like a whole algorithm just for that?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. It's called the non-upset wife algorithm, right?
And this is an alternative to you doing it all in a spreadsheet.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Is that what you used to do?
Well, that's what we all do, right? We just put in all those different pieces
and
we
add
them up on a calculator and we try to crank through our heads how it will work out.
So based on this, then you come back with an itinerary giving you different options that you can select from, right?
You get the full door-to-door itineraries that you can select, you can book those full door-to-door itineraries, and we also give you alternatives that save you additionally more money. There might be a hotel just like 2 minutes away from the meeting, kind of a little bit further away, but it saves you $300. And for many companies, this is a very meaningful saving.
But it gets better yet, because with those savings, you're allowing people to take those savings and do something with it?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that, Armin.
Yeah, so basically, every time you book a trip that saves company money, for every dollar employee saves to the company, they earn a percentage of that in Travelwitz dollars, which now they can go to travelwitz.com and book
and
their
use
personal.
Them.
And use
yeah,
that.
Use them on
so it incentivizes you to save some money so you can make some money to spend that money when you're on your trip.
Yeah, we had someone basically travel completely for free.
Really?
Yeah, like a few days ago.
That's called a travel with success story right there.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to capture that.
Yeah, for sure.
So
yeah.
People can go right now to Travelwitz, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's completely live. You can start booking today.
Travelwitz.com.
Yeah, Travelwitz.com.
Okay, we're talking to the founders of Travelwitz.com. So check it out as soon as you get near any kind of your device and you're planning a trip or just experiment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're in this world right now that it's everything siloed. We're still in a siloed world. Everyone comes up with a siloed solution. They have an app. You know, if it's integrated, it's overlaid on top or interconnected. So you guys are trying to throw – are you using the back end of, like, the search of Wikipedia, of Expedia and the likes?
No, we actually have a – over 20 partnerships where we're pulling in a lot of real-time prices and availability and traffic information. And then we have our own proprietary algorithms that parse through all of that real time.
And finds
and
what's
the most. Even time. Southwest?
Even Southwest prices.
Even Southwest.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a differentiator, right?
In a way, for sure, yeah.
That's a differentiator. So what's your vision for the rest of this year?
We're working on getting more companies to pilot what we
have. Okay, so does everyone hear that? They're looking for more companies.
That is absolutely true.
And you're talking about companies that are going to use this to book their business travel with, because that's obviously your sweet spot as far as that goes. Because, so many companies, you can save them a considerable amount of money and time as well, mm-hmm. too. I think people are going to be amazed when they go on and start booking their business trips to this. They're going to say, A, I can save some money and apply that towards travel rewards. And then B, I'm going to save like a day and a half, which can really, it's hard to put a value to that sometimes if you have someone, not having a day stuck in the air or stuck in a hotel somewhere.
Yeah.
It's amazing stuff.
So can you do this as an individual or do you have to be a company?
No, you don't have to be a company. You can actually go start using it today.
Just as yourself if you want to, right?
Just as yourself, an individual, yeah.
But businesses are really the ones that can really drive some real cost efficiency.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah. And on top of everything that we just talked about, we have, because this is a must for companies, we have a lightweight dashboard for companies to manage their travel policies, travel expenses.
So you can snap into their policies and into their overall corporate structure. So as someone's booking travel, they go right through this experience that allows them to go through Travelwitz.
Approval processes and all that. Yeah.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
So the dream is that you are disrupting a lot of things. I mean, you really are. You're disrupting a lot of things. You're disrupting corporate travel agents.
Yeah.
You're disrupting some of the silos that I mentioned before in terms of search. What else are you disrupting?
I think it's a more generalist. We are in a 21st century after all. And the fact that we manually have to figure out ourselves all the components of a trip is just absurd. So it's... specifically taking this technology and bringing it into the business world is one way to look at it, but the same technology could be applied much broader than that.
And so Pittsburghers who love their frequent flyer miles, mm-hmm. they'll be able to use them?
Yeah, so we actually, right now, when you book, for example, you just enter your frequent flyer numbers.
Okay, so it's the same.
Everything goes through us.
There's this thing that happens here about these frequent flyer miles.
People like the frequent flyer miles.
Yeah, we support that.
That's true. But now in addition to the frequent flyer miles, you can also earn those Travelwitz dollars.
Yeah.
And then you can literally have a full vacation within two business trips.
But you can combine
it. And you got the full vacation for free.
Right.
So what I love most about this is a problem that you had, and you're like, I can solve this. I can make this better using advanced technology. And people could think, I can solve it, but you actually took that step and said, I'm going to create a company around this. What
right,
you
so
thinking?
You were at Carnegie Mellon.
What were you thinking?
What are you teaching at Carnegie Mellon?
Robotics and AI. So I do travel a lot, and that is a huge pain for myself. So I think just kind of taking and solving it and also making it beneficial to yourself is one of the primary purposes here.
Is this the first time you've tried to build a company?
Yes.
How does it feel?
It's a very interesting experience. I like it. It is also a test to the kind of perseverance.
And one of the things is that you start doing this and you have kind of a limited view of what you think you're going to be doing.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're wearing so many hats.
Exactly.
They're falling off.
I know, right?
Armin's like, amazing? I have a hat for that.
It's amazing, like, the variety of what your responsibilities are.
Yeah.
How many are you hiring at all?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You are? Like, what are you hiring for?
Business developers. So we, as I said, we are going after more companies.
And, yeah.
And this.
So you need a biz dev arm.
Yeah, okay. That's the number one priority for us. And then on top of that, as soon as we close our round, we're going to be hiring a software engineer as well.
Yeah. So what are some? You mentioned before that you're going to integrate into Google Calendars, which I think is obviously a very smart and exciting move.
Mm-hmm.
Any other types of technology advancements you're kind of planning out through the year that you can maybe hint or allude at to make travel with all the cooler?
All right. Yeah, sure. So we're going to be finishing up more integrations with more partnerships so that we get more coverage in terms of hotel inventory, in terms of flight pricing, as well as more efficient booking of trains on the back end. And Uber, things like that. Yeah.
Very cool.
And also going international. This is one of those things.
So can I book Jonathan on a flight to India yet?
If he agrees, yes.
See, all about the agreement part. Just,
yeah. Okay. Did you tell him?
No, I didn't say a word. I swear to God.
It's a one-way flight.
It's a one-way flight. I'm staying there forever on the white sands of Goa.
But we can support you one-way. Do international yet?
We can do international. It works, but it's not always optimal. Okay. That's something we're working on right now.
Very cool. So go to travelwits.com and check it all out. So glad you guys got to stop by. I just love it, man. Pittsburgh. Yeah. Making us proud like that, man. Only in Pittsburgh we'd build a company like this.
Awesome.
So cool. Travelwits.com. Audrey, another tech vibe under the belt. And I don't get sad anymore because I know next week we have another slew of guests, just like Armin here, ready to talk about all the great innovations they're bringing to Pittsburgh. Too much fun doing this. So learn more about the Tech Council by going to pghtech.org. That's what we do. We love helping these companies do what they do, helping Pittsburgh be the best city they can be. This is Jonathan Kirshning.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Audrey, have an awesome weekend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.